From WXPN and NPR Music, welcome. This is The World Cafe. I'm David Dye. Last week, Elvis Costello and The Roots unveiled their collaboration, Wise Up Ghost, that they've been working on in semi-secrecy for a while now. Today, we talk with Roots drummer Amir Questlove Thompson and Elvis Costello about how they met and, as how they put it, how they used hip-hop techniques to make a non-hip-hop album. Questlove was worried about the initial concept to re-record some of Elvis's best-known songs.
I didn't want to be like the bad guy at the end of the day, like, oh man, Questlove ruined these. How dare he do that to Allison?
Quest has worked with D'Angelo, Jay-Z, and with even Eminem. And Elvis Costello has been stretching musical boundaries for over 35 years. It's Elvis and Questlove coming up on The World Cafe. Before we get to this great conversation with Questlove and Elvis Costello, I thought we'd play some of Elvis's songs that, he's written for others, including this one. This is one he wrote for Roger McGuinn. It's his version of You Bow Down, Elvis Costello, live at the World Cafe.
Now they say that justice and love are the next things to blindness. You're getting plenty of both of them now. So you parade where appointments are made, never meant to be. I remember a time when you would have said, so superior. Now you say, will you please meet this good friend of mine?
Our guests on the World Cafe today are Elvis Costello and Amir Questlove Thompson, the drummer for the hip-hop band The Roots, who have been the house band on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon since its premiere in 2009. The Roots and Elvis collaborated on the new album Wise Up Ghost, released last week. The Roots formed in Philadelphia in 1987 and have won 4 Grammys for their previous albums. Elvis Costello has a huge catalog of work, starting with The Attractions 35 years ago. He's a prolific collaborator with classical artists like Anne Sophie von Otter and the Brodsky Quartet, Burt Bacharach, Paul McCartney, Alan Toussaint, and now The Roots. Questlove and Elvis produced Wise Up Ghost along with longtime Roots engineer-producer Steve Mandel. And I asked Questlove how working with Elvis began.
I always tell the story that I think one of the attractions of even considering doing Fallon in the first place was that both our co-producer Steve Mandel slightly suggested that, hey, maybe this could put us in Elvis's radar. That was the first conversation that I had with Steve the day after I had my meeting with Lauren Michaels and Jimmy Fallon. Like, I was back at the studio, and he's like, yeah, so you think you're going to take that late-night job? And I was like, well, you know, they said we can have people sit in, like, one day, you know, like Q-Tip can sit in, the next day Herbie Hancock, and maybe like the third day Elvis, and then and then Steve stopped me like, wait a minute, oh, you totally got to take this gig now. I can see it. Like, so we kind of like Elvis was definitely in our target range. Like day one, that was when Steve said we have to take the job now, so that way we can get in his radar, and then maybe work with him one day. So this was like a long, meticulous plan of me and Steve kind of curbing our enthusiasm, because I told Steve, okay, we're going to let like 2 or 3 appearances go by before we start the fandom thing. We don't want him to think that we're psycho. So yeah, after the first 3 appearances, then it was sort of like, hey, by the way, we have this idea. So that's how it came.
Well, so that's the Quest version. So, what, Elvis, what did
that,
you think?
That's you know, I
we couldn't let him know that.
Yeah, but then, you know, you got to look at it from where I was standing when the Roots took the job in the first place. I'm sitting as a fan of theirs and saying, that's either going to be the coolest thing they're ever going to do. But my first thought is like, that's a lot of original music that's going to go into a form where it's just going to be like steam, you know, because it evaporates. And when the Attractions disbanded in the 80s, Steve Niven and Pete Thomas did a television gig for a number of years, and they had a lot of great adventures. You know, they got to back Tom Jones and Jerry Lee Lewis and Paul McCartney and a bunch of people you can't even remember now, but it didn't lead to any records or anything. So I didn't know whether taking a gig like that is a wonderful opportunity or a trap for a band that you admire. Now, what Amir and the guys have done with it has been, I think, pretty remarkable, because it's a sort of workshop playground, and I walked right into the if it was a trap, it's one I walked into willingly, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know which one of us can do the more dastardly laugh, you know, because I could hear, you know, if you come in to do a new song, which I did on the second appearance, when I first went in to do the show, I was in talking about Spectacle, the television show I was doing for Sundance. So it was perfectly logical that we did old songs of mine, but they were completely refreshed in the arrangements that we took him in. The second time it came in was upon the release of National Ransom, the last record I put out. And we end up doing the song Stations of the Cross with John McLaughlin on guitar, because he was sitting in with the band that night. Mm-hmm. So for anybody that had never seen the show, right there you've got exactly the benefits of going and doing late night television and having a free attitude to having interesting guests who are sitting in with the band, in addition to the musical guests that perform at the end of the show.
Just a little bit of the connection with the Fallon show. A lot of this work on the song, I understand, was done in kind of the Roots room there. And Elvis, maybe describe this room, because I understand it's not too big.
It's a dressing room.
I when I first saw it, I thought, well, it's the tech cupboard, isn't it? You know, it's like where they used to keep the microphones.
Yeah.
When they had those great big ones, you know, it's like I don't want to say it's like really tiny, but I think of it as the musical TARDIS. You know, it's like, it's amazing that when you go in that you would fit a mixing board and all that equipment. And the back room is Questrombo, then it's, but there is that thing, there's, it's also like a Las Vegas casino, there's no clocks, there's no windows, you know, so just the time is just set by the music.
You know, I'll say that of the 16 projects I ever worked on, one of them we kind of did in a lap of luxury atmosphere, and it's probably the one record that was the least critically acclaimed for the Roots. And I kind of pride myself on, like, having straight-A report cards anytime, like, we release a record, like, it's, like, critically acclaimed or, you know, it makes the pass job list or that type of thing. I personally love the idea of being in discomfort and in tight, cramped spaces because I just feel like all you have to do is concentrate on the work. You know, some artists, like, they go to Hawaii, they go to, you know, up in the French mountains. Like, I mean, that's nice and all, but for me personally, like, I got to be uncomfortable and cramped. So I'm glad you were open to it. You know, yeah, John, when we did the project with John Legend, he was like, no, we got to go to a real studio. And Booker T was just like, nah, no way. But I'm glad.
It's what you're used to. You know, I mean, I started out, my first record was cut at an 8-track studio in Highbury in London, and the room might be different layout to your room at NBC, but it's, I don't believe the floor area is much bigger.
And you didn't do all the work there, though. Describe a little bit about how the songs came together, because I understand, like, a track of some sort, a drum track or something might be sent to Elvis in Vancouver Island, and you'd come back with something, and was there a bit of ping-pong?
That was the initial thing. Stephen came out wearing his pith helmet and his explorer kind of outfit, and pitchfork and got me into a little room which really wasn't any bigger. It was just equipped for basically a mixing board with a small live room with the beats that Amir had put down in relation to just song ideas that we just talked about, some titles that we, the songs of mine that we were going to try and pull apart and turn into new things.
Let's start at the beginning. Like, when his first two appearances on the show, we kind of did like facelifts or rearrangements of his established songs. So I think the idea was in the beginning we were going to rearrange the Elvis classics, and then I think midway through talking to Steve about it, I felt some sort of way because I didn't want to be like the bad guy at the end of the day, like, oh man, like, Questlove ruined these, how dare he do that to Allison, you know what I mean, man? So I kept waking up at
that's
night.
What people said when they heard the first song.
I didn't that whole month I was just like, nah man, I'm gonna be the bad guy, I want to do a fresh album. So in the beginning it was going to be like that, so maybe we did that for like maybe two or three sessions, but then we got into our groove, I'll say, by the third or fourth month, of which, like, mainly ideas were musically recorded in the day, and then you'd come in right after we'd stop shooting film,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Elvis would come in around 7 p.m. and just knock it out.
I had a little bit more. I didn't have any fear about I'd seen what happened when we played both my new song and when we had revisited those songs on the Fallon Show, so I didn't have any misgiving about the idea of us playing songs from my catalog, or at least referencing them, because I figured if we chose songs that were pretty much unknown to the broader public, by the time we'd finished working on them musically, and I'd finished pulling together all the lyrical ideas, I found verses from different songs that had common themes. They were essentially telling a new story, and most importantly, they were telling it right now. The whatever the music had been, whatever rendition of the lyrics of Refuse to be Saved had been heard in 20 years ago, it's a totally different song over this rhythm and with all the figurations that go on in the arrangement, quite apart from the emphasis I'm placing on the words. You know, after a couple of mixing sessions, this is a different methodology for me. In most rock and roll bands, you do a tracking session, then you overdub, then you mix it. Mm-hmm. We were making a record from the first day. You could be quite satisfied by my voice over Amir's drums with two of these instrumental sketchy things. It would make sense. I don't think it's as attractive as what we'd ended with, But right. It did make sense.
Amir, what you were talking about there with redoing the songs, kind of in a way morphed into the sort of sampling Elvis's tunes. And I wanted to start off with a live version of "Stick Out Your Tongue," which is kind of a revamped "Pills and Soap" from '83.
Stick out your tongue.
there you go. That is a live version, which I think is going to be a rare occurrence of getting Elvis Costello and the Roots to actually be able to play live. We've got there seems to be one date on the bill so far, but that is Stick Out Your Tongue, which is actually it's more than just Pills and Soap, isn't it? Aren't there other parts of other songs in there as well?
Yeah, there's a refrain that's lifted out of the song National Ransom.
Right.
I mean, this is the whole point of this collage technique that I employed on just a couple of these songs. You know, it's kind of going to maybe rival Trivial Pursuit or even Cluedo. The people are going to take a lot of satisfaction in ticking the boxes of where they see these songs came from, these lyrics came from. But there's limited satisfaction in doing that beyond listening to what story they tell combined together with this music. And I'll leave it to the listener to decide what story is accumulated by the verses of Pills and Soap, a verse from Hurry Down Doomsday, and a refrain lifted out of National Ransom. If you want to draw your own conclusions of why those three songs are connected, that's why I wrote the song.
And
like it did.
Pills and Soap, written at a time, was a very political song at the time it came out. And, interesting thing about reshaping, revisiting, writing a new song, a lot of those issues still, part of what's going on. I suppose that's part of the reason why you did it.
Yeah, the original record, Pills and Soap, was my rendition of what I heard, what I could make, what sense I could make out of the rhythmically driven flow of the first hip-hop records that hit over in England. There was no way I was going to adopt the style of delivery or the I didn't feel I had to copy it literally. That's where that came from. That's why I think it's kind of curious that it was the one that Stephen and Amir's proposed as a starting point for this record. Because I don't know whether it had occurred to them, whether they knew I'd said that somewhere, or whether it really even mattered that that's where the original song came. Was it literally, it wasn't a direct response like an answer record, but I heard the message and I went, well, that's not a dance floor record in the way I know it. That's actually commentary.
It's
record.
It's commentary. Right.
Yeah, it's a commentary record, just like Too Much Monkey Business is a commentary record, or Subterranean Homesick Blues, which you could also say are kind of rap record, you know. So I didn't see it as like a club you couldn't join, because I wasn't trying to get in.
Well, you've always squeezed a lot of words in, but it's kind of fun to have so much space for the words on these songs, too, which is something else different.
That's something that's been a few friends, and I recognize right away that I love the original renditions of any, and I wouldn't have released any of those songs from which these verses came if I didn't believe in them. But just as you can repeat a song over multiple performances, there's other ways to sing a tune. And having the space to say what I'm saying here, that these rhythms allowed me, was a complete liberation.
We're talking with Elvis Costello and Amir Questlove Thompson of The Roots about the new collaboration between Elvis and The Roots called Wise Up Ghost. And can you tell me about the creation of, I love this song, Tripwire.
Stephen, my dad played me this loop, and I truthfully wasn't entirely certain that it really was from one of my records. I mean, he said it's like it's from one of your records. It's processed this. I guess it's a few bars from the front of a record of Michael Satellite, but it never goes into the part of the song where the melody of Satellite is heard. So it's not. It's literally a common chord sequence of 100,000 songs.
All right,
and. Whereas the actual full song Satellite goes off into some pretty abstract kind of ideas, it's a different tale entirely. That simple harmonic sequence which you hear in Tell Me Right Now by Joe Tex or a song like that, it just lent the way to a straightforward kind of lyric like Tripwire.
Great song.
Yeah, this is one of my personal favorites off the record.
Just because you don't speak the language doesn't mean that you can't understand. Just because you don't speak the language doesn't mean that you can't understand. The twisting the script of an insult scrawled on the back of your hand, torn from the pages of scripture, spread on the wall in the phrase of a flag, kisses forbidden on lips, in all of your fine clothes worn into rags. Tripwire, 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 tripwire. There's a tripwire, 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 tripwire. Don't open the door 'cause they're coming. Don't open the door 'cause they're here. Above there's an ominous humming, below there's a murmur of prayer. Torn from the pages of scandal, spread on the wall of the phrase of a flag, kisses forbidden on lips, and all of your fine clothes blown into rags. Tripwire, 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 tripwire. There's a tripwire,
Tripwire from the New Roots Elvis Costello collaboration Wise Up Ghost. More of my conversation with Amir Questlove Thompson and Elvis Costello coming up as Amir explains how this project was different than many others he's worked on in the past. We get right back here to the World Cafe. Elvis Costello and Amir Questlove Thompson are my guests. They have just released the Roots Elvis Costello collaboration Wise Up Ghost that they produced along with longtime Roots producer engineer Steve Mandel. You know, we're hearing a lot about Steve Mandel. We're hearing Elvis, your contribution. Amir, talk about what it's like having the Roots add things to these tracks as well. Is that how it was done, or was some of it more live?
Well, no. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll say that Steve was probably like our referee in terms of Steve. My relationship with Steve Mandel starts back in '97 when I'd spent 5 years working on D'Angelo's Voodoo album. And Steve was a house engineer at Electric Lady, so he's basically the co-engineer of that album. So during that five-year duration, which was like college for all of us, we kind of entered as freshmen, and then once that album came out, we were all seniors. And, you know, I went back home to Philadelphia, and he decided to move to Philly, too, because I had that album got me a lot of work. So basically, I'll say during that period, Steve pretty much took me to Costello University. I mean, having worked in a record store in high school and whatnot, like I knew of Elvis's work, and my sister was a fan of Elvis, so she had a few of his albums. So I knew of him growing up, but, you know, it was Steve that really, like, just every 3 seconds was like, yo, you gotta, you know, you gotta see the genius in this song, this song, this song, this song. And so, I mean, he kind of prepared me and groomed me in this moment. So if anything, I think that he's sort of like he was the referee of this summit meeting in the middle. So, you know, it would start off, like, ideas would just start off bare. Either Elvis would have a skeleton of an idea that I then would flesh out. And Steve would say, okay, that's good, that's not good, this needs more, you know. This is one of the few projects in which, you know, I kind of took joy in taking instruction. And because normally, you know, I have to take the lead, or, you know, in the Roots, it's a whole different system. But here, it was just a matter of us just filling in the blanks. If he would contribute an idea, you know, if we had an idea, we'd submit it to him.
We didn't have any conversations, theoretical conversations about this record beyond starting to stick out your tongue.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah. I don't,
theorized the record up front, you know.
I mean, we knew we were going to wind up here at this moment, but to make an album under your own terms, like, we didn't have a record label when we started this record. And, you know, we kind of just made it on free will and free time. No, you know, when I create records, it's a whole nother level of psychological duress. And is this going to make the radio? Is this BET friendly? Will MTV like this? Like, those are the first thoughts in your mind when you're working with the sort of caliber of artists that I work with. And so a lot of the purity and the freedom just get lost in it. Whereas with this record, I think we said, okay, I think we have an album. Once we have 15 songs, right?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, okay, this is actually, you know, because for all we knew, we could have just pressed this up on a few EPs and made this for Record Store Day and just called it a day or just leaked it online.
We're talking with Elvis Costello and Amir Questlove Thompson of The Roots about the new collaboration between Elvis and The Roots called Wise Up Ghost. And let's do another one of the live ones, guys. And let's do Walk Us Uptown.
Stand in the light of a new killing ground, and we won't make a sound except to sing our sorrow. Will you walk us uptown while our Jews learn guitars to suffer in silence and pray for some solace? Will you wash away our sins in the crossfire on grass currents? Will you uncross your fingers and take out some assurance? No matter what the price, get your own paradise. Will you walk us uptown? Will you walk us uptown? Some hearts are sinking, some hearts are fluttered. Some scoop gold from a dirt in the gutter. A swallow the earth. The barriers are back, and everything's alright. Will you walk us uptown? Like some said that you could. If we feast on your flesh and drink down your blood, will your heart have that flag and dishonor that vow? Cause we must not change in color now. Will you walk us uptown? Will you walk us uptown? No matter what the price, each girl's gonna be part of her own paradise. Will you walk us uptown? Will you walk us uptown?
Walk Us Uptown live from the Roots with Elvis Costello today. Yeah, what about the logistics of doing anything live with this? It's going to be difficult, I guess.
No. I personally think that, you know, especially from the type of albums that I made with the Roots, we've always felt as though live and studio are two separate animals. Nothing frustrates me more, especially now that I'm on late night television and have to interact with a lot of artists that I have to back up. Where this whole pressure of it has to be like the album version, you know, you have video stars of the 80s that put this pressure on themselves that, oh, my live performance has to be like the video. And now, you know, we're so trapped in the idea of playing with Pro Tools and pre-recorded tracks on stage that it just takes the life out of it. You know, a lot of the shows that I've seen magic happen is because they treated the live version as a whole new animal. We will maximize the power of these songs and for the stage in a way that, you know, we see fit for it. So I personally don't think it's difficult. It's just going to be a whole nother animal that will deal with.
I was sort of actually talking about the fact that Elvis has got the solo tour and you got your night job.
Oh. You mean actually doing shows? Yeah, we're just doing one show.
But no, it'll be different.
No, I personally, you know, for now it's just, we're taking it one step at a time.
What's the rush?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that's changed really a lot is that, you know, I mean, obviously Walker's Uptown, the song you just heard, is called a single, but there's no 7-inch record, there's no 12-inch record, there's not even a CD download. You can get the CD, the MP3 of it, but a single today means that it's released with some kind of accompanying video to the internet. So it's all of the systems and all the protocols are different. And it used to be, a record came out, what are you going to do now? Tour for 3 years playing the same show.
Mm-hmm.
I could never do that anyway. I mean, in the mid-80s when we had the Attractions and I had the most success across America, I would do anything I could to derail the show in the middle. People would be coming out to hear Every Day I Write the Book, and I'd play like five Bobby Bland songs back to back until they all just left.
You, Elvis Costello, would derail a song?
Yes, I would. Yeah,
I cannot imagine you ever derailing any song to do.
Maybe on live television, you would be. I would never do that.
I would never know that.
Wow. Yeah. But there's just something where, like you say, they're two different things. So it. You do it to self-defeating reasons, and the reasons for doing it are very obscure to the audience, they're personal to you, a frame of mind you're in at that moment. And then, so right now, I don't necessarily think that you've got to be on the stage the next day, and as you say, do a rendition of the record that sounds exactly like the record. I think that would be tedious. It'd be much more interesting to go on a stage and play literally with a sense of adventure, the material as a launch pad to another rendition.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when the occasion comes again to do it in another arena, a different place, somewhere we've maybe never ever thought of playing yet, you know?
So, tell you what, let's listen to some more of these rare and different live versions. This is Wake Me Up.
Burn out as you ride the blues back. across the border if they knew the bitch you had. Yeah, they were surprised to see us. So they greeted us with power. And they asked for ammunition. Acts of contrition and small loss. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. Never slap or a kiss. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. Love must be something better than this. Got this imagine every day when I'm punching up a dial. I got the AC train on the TV, so it won't blow up in my eye. And everything that I thought fancy full and marked is too extreme. It must be family entertainment here in the strange land of my dreams. And I practice on my likeness. Francis, she's feet. And if I hold my hand outstretched, a little bird comes to me. And I might recite a small prayer if I ever said and lay down on an iron frame and found myself in bed. Stepping on the fingers that were stretching through the bars, the wailing echoes down the corridors. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. Slap a kiss. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. Do the steel trunk of a Mustang. We drove it down a cypress grove. We traded hanging stars to span. We dangled flags and other rags along a colored thread of twine. We dragged that bruised and purple heart along the road to Palestine. Someone went up muttering. Shattered to pieces. Easter star is slaughtering. He's wrapped in bloodstained fleeces. My thoughts return to vengeance. Where to put up your resistance? Though it seemed a long way from my home, there really was no distance. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up. There must be something better than this.
am a son in the name of gasoline and a gun. In the name of the Father and the Son, in the name of gasoline and a gun. Wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up, wake me up.
Wake Me Up from Elvis Costello and the Roots, a live version today on the World Cafe. Elvis, Questlove, thank you guys so much for playing these live, number one, making this record, and having a chance to talk a little bit about it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Again, major thanks to Elvis and Questlove for talking with us today. Wonderful new album, Wise Up Ghost. World Cafe is supported in part by Brushfire Records, presenting Jack Johnson's new album From Here to Now to You, featuring the songs I Got You and Radiate, available now. Additional support for the World Cafe is provided by the members of our World Cafe affiliates nationwide. They include KMSU in Mankato, Minnesota, and KVLU in Beaumont, Texas. Shows produced at WXPN from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm David Dye. This is the World Cafe.